markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning as technology shares rally, and we check the markets all day long here on Bloomberg. S&P futures, they're up a third of a percent or 13 points. Dow futures up a tenth of a percent or 45 points. And NASDAQ futures up six-tenths of a percent or 66 points. The DAX in Germany is up two-tenths of a percent. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 3.86%. The yield on the two-year, 4.35%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.5% on $1.18 at $77.78 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $4 at $18.11.80 an ounce. The euro 1.0633 against the dollar. British pound 1.2032 and the yen 133.81. Bitcoin is up 0.4% at $16,600. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. John.
All right. Thanks, Karen. 5:56 on Wall Street. And it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. Today, we're looking at the battle over Title 42, the White House complying with a Supreme Court order to keep the sweeping measure in place. Title 42 places coronavirus controls on the border, stemming the flow of immigrants into the U.S. And for more on the issue, Bloomberg's Madison Mills speaks with Leon Fresco, a partner at Holland & Knight.
What would you say is the single biggest concern that you have about the impact of this decision from the Supreme Court?
Well, the interesting thing is that what's being reported isn't exactly in line with the actual facts of what's going on, meaning that there are so many levels and layers to these cases that it's really hard to sort of get a straight arrow reporting of what is happening. And here's what I mean. So, for instance, in the Louisiana case, which is the case that's actually keeping now Title 42 in effect until at least now June of 2023, that's a case that the Biden administration could have chosen to speed up in the appellate process and ask for expedited consideration, but they didn't. And so that's why we don't have an answer on the fate of Title 42 faster. Secondly, in the D.C. case, which is the case that was actually dealt with by the Supreme Court about this issue of whether the states could intervene or not, and whether that decision from the D.C. district would be stayed. The only reason there's a decision to be stayed now is because the Department of Justice took an appeal to the Court of Appeals of the D.C. Circuit. Had they not taken an appeal, there would have been nothing for the states to intervene to, and there wouldn't have been yet again a stay. And so what's fascinating about this is the Biden administration can say, well, we don't want Title 42 around, but that's not actually consistent with two different litigation decisions that have been made in these cases. So the fair point is to say they may have a lukewarm desire to have Title 42 around, but there are certainly the actions that have taken place are actions where it doesn't seem like there's actually a great desire to end Title 42 with regard to the Biden administration.
Have we seen comprehensive immigration plans from the right?
Well, they are not in the mood to do anything at the moment that would have sort of the pillars of immigration reform, which would be they're sort of three or four.
Why is that? Why are they not in the mood for that?
Well, I think they view the current situation on the border as one where, to the extent that now you're seeing more and more programming in this regard, even not on just Fox News or Newsmax, but you're seeing it on MSNBC and CNN, that's an advantageous situation to show that there's not an ability to end those scenes on the southern border. And so why basically give a hand up to a person who's not able to handle this situation?
And that's Leon Fresco, a partner at Holland & Knight, speaking with Bloomberg's Madison Mills. You can catch more conversations like this on Bloomberg's Sound On, heard weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio. Plus, attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal, that's at blaw.gov. This is Bloomberg.
markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning as technology shares rally on the second to last day of trading in what's been a brutal year for financial markets. And we check the markets all day long here on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 13 points, up a third of a percent. Dow futures up a tenth of a percent, or 42 points. NASDAQ futures are up six-tenths of a percent, or 67 points. The DAX in Germany is up two-tenths of a percent. 10-year Treasury up 4/32. Yield 3.86%. The yield on the two-year, 4.34%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.7% at $1.32 at $77.64 a barrel. COMEX gold down two-tenths percent, or $3.90 at $18.11.90 an ounce. The euro, 1.0635 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2029. The yen is at 133.77. And Bitcoin's up 0.4%. It's at about $16,600. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. More than 2,300 Southwest flights are already canceled today, marking the fourth straight day the airline has canceled more than 50% of its scheduled flights. In all, more than 13,000 Southwest flights the past week have been canceled. The U.S. is reinstating mandatory COVID-19 testing for airline travelers arriving from China. The CDC says the new measures follow a surge in infections in China and a lack of transparency from Chinese officials. A massive fire at a Cambodian hotel casino has killed at least a dozen people. In the NBA, the Nets won their 10th straight. The Wizards and Warriors won. In the NHL, the Bruins beat the Devils 3-1. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:42 on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm John Tucker alongside Karen Moscow. Let's take a look at some of the other stories that are making news this morning. 2023 will likely see more attempted crossings at the U.S. border that threatens to burden already an overwhelmed enforcement system. President Biden's immigration policies face uncertainty after the Supreme Court kept in place pandemic-era border controls. Leon Frasco's former Deputy Assistant Attorney General for the Office of Immigration Litigation.
At the end of the day, I do think that there will be a confluence of factors that will hopefully lead to an immigration reform effort. And the question is when and how that will happen.
And stay with us for more on the Title 42 fight from the former Deputy Assistant Attorney General Fresco. That's coming up shortly in our daily Bloomberg Law Brief.
Well, in the meantime, John, crypto again in focus this morning. Solana, the blockchain network once championed by Sam Bankman-Fried, is drawing intense scrutiny for its close ties to the disgraced crypto mogul. The price of Solana's crypto token, SOL, has plummeted 96% from its all-time high in November of last year. It peaked at $260. Now it's around $10.
And the Federal Reserve's aggressive tightening continues to take a toll on the housing market. U.S. pending home sales fell for a sixth consecutive month in November to the second lowest on record. Data also show borrowing costs have roughly doubled since the start of the year.
Well, John, the U.S. Virgin Islands is suing J.P. Morgan for turning a blind eye to former client Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking on his private island there. The Virgin Islands Attorney General says the suit is part of an ongoing effort to hold accountable those who facilitated Epstein's activities.
And Karen, now to another story we're watching this morning. Russia ruling out peace talks with Ukraine. Let's take a deeper dive into this morning. We're joined by Bloomberg News correspondent Alexander Kudrytsky, joining us now from Warsaw, Poland. Thanks for being with us. The Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov is making some comments. What exactly is he saying?
Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov had an interview today in which he said that Kremlin will not be discussing Ukraine's demands to withdraw from the occupied lands and pay any reparations. So this answers another interview by Ukrainian foreign minister who said that Ukraine would like to hold a peace summit on February, but they don't anticipate Russia to take part and seek a tribunal against Russian leadership.
Well, how is the war? Let's back up. How is the war going for Ukraine and Russia?
Well, just today, people in Kyiv, actually including our Bloomberg colleagues in the Ukrainian capital, heard series of loud explosions because Russia launched another missile barrage. However, the explosions appear to be a largely work of air defense, which has become very effective, and all missiles incoming at Kyiv have been shut down, for example, and only about one-fifth of Russian missiles fired today were able to reach their target. But still, the attack caused quite big power disruptions in other areas. For example, in Lviv, a city near Poland, almost 90% of people were left without electricity.
Does Russia show any signs of wanting to end this conflict?
Today shows that Russia is still willing to stick to its relatively new tactics of targeting Ukrainian energy infrastructure, since it's apparently not able to reach any successes in the battlefield. We'll have to see what the new year brings, but today we've seen another missile attack, which was a tenth attack since September of such type.
And let's focus.
See if Russia continues.
I want to focus on the people of Ukraine, how they're doing in this winter without any supplies of energy at this point. What's the situation on the ground there in Ukraine for the people?
Well, Ukrainian people now have to get used to living with power supply, which is not stable. For most people, every day you have periods of time when you have electricity and when you don't, for stretches of several hours, and it all depends on the region. Situation seems to be better in some areas and worse in others, or especially after a missile hit. Like I said, today there are power disruptions in Odessa region, and Kyiv authorities, by the way, even if Kyiv wasn't directly hit by missiles, still had to introduce power cuts just to avoid some damage in case some missiles could reach their goals. It's a tough time, tough winter, but fortunately the weather is not that frosty now, and we'll see. So far, Ukraine is not freezing to death.
We can only hope that holds at this point. You're in Poland. Describe for me the situation there. Refugees in Poland and other adjoining countries sound like they are stepping up to the plate to help Ukraine and the people that have flowed over the border, right?
Yes, Poland has been incredibly helpful to Ukrainians and incredibly welcoming and effective in its help. But also, one peculiar thing is that most people coming from Ukraine are women and children, because men are technically not allowed to leave the country. From what I saw in terms of last statistics, some 8 million Ukrainians left for Poland since the war started, but also 6 million returned. So many people do come back, and not everyone stays in Poland or elsewhere in Europe. In Poland, the country is doing its best to help Ukraine, because it's obvious that the war is not that far away. And Polish people and Polish government is willing to help Ukraine survive and sustain itself, because if it doesn't, who knows what's going to happen.
Bloomberg reporter Alexander Kudryski on the very latest, joining us from Warsaw this morning. Thanks very much, Alex. We appreciate that this morning. As we look at futures right now, the Dow futures, they point to a higher open on Wall Street this morning. At least for now, the Dow futures up 61 points. That is a rise of 0.2%. S&P E-mini futures, they're up 14, up 0.4%. The NASDAQ futures, 69 points higher. Right now, up 0.6%. The 10-year yield down 1 basis point. We're at 386. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
stories, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures gaining this morning, led by the NASDAQ futures, following a rally in Asian technology stocks amid signs China's easing a regulatory crackdown. And we check the markets all day long here on Bloomberg. S&P futures, they're higher, up 0.3% or 11 points. Dow futures up 0.1% or 38 points. NASDAQ futures, they're up 0.6% or 61 points. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, 3.86%. The yield on the two-year, 4.34%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.8% at $1.42 at $77.54 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $18.14.50 an ounce. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Southwest is trying to recover from one of the worst airline meltdowns in U.S. history. Passengers are still stranded all over the country. Another 2,300 Southwest flights been canceled for today. The U.S. and Italy joined an increasing number of nations requiring COVID tests for travelers from China. Concerns are mounting over the risk of any new variants emerging from the surge of infections in the country. In the NBA, the Nets won their 10th straight. The Wizards and Warriors won. In the NHL, the Bruins beat the Devils 3-1. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:23 on Wall Street. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's pick up on that headline. Michael, just to mention, the U.S. and Italy joining an increasing number of nations requiring COVID tests for travelers from China. Let's take a deeper dive. Head to Shanghai this morning, and that's where you find Bloomberg's Alan Wan. Alan, always a pleasure. What's the latest? What countries are imposing what kind of restrictions?
Yeah, you just mentioned that. The main ones are the U.S. and Italy. In lieu of tests, the U.S. said that Chinese passengers, travelers can provide documentation of recovering from COVID, or they have tested positive more than 10 days early. So it doesn't necessarily have to be negative PCR test results. The requirement also requires that all passengers, have to undergo this process regardless of nationality or vaccination status. U.S. health officials are concerned basically about China's lack of transparency around case data, saying that the high number of people affected over a very short period of time raises the chance of a new variant emerging. I mean, for its part, China said that if there are any new variants, it's going to report it to the World Health Organization. And a global consortium that tracks all this stuff, tracks the pandemic, said that so far there aren't any signs of any significant new mutations emerging. And why we've seen in China has been circling around the world so far.
The vaccines that were available in China, I think you got one, are they effective? I mean, they're just – or not?
Well, that's the thing about it. There's always that concern, even among the Chinese. I mean, I hear about mainland Chinese saying that they want to go to Macau or Hong Kong to get the mRNA vaccine. From my perspective, you know, I've had the two Chinese shots, the Sinopharm, which are WHO approved, and then I got a Pfizer booster a year ago when I was in New York, and I contracted COVID, and I was asymptomatic. I had no symptoms. So it's hard for me to say that, the Chinese vaccines are less effective just because I myself have, I've been able to sort of withstand the worst of it. But there's always a concern, and that's why, China's been coming out with an inhalable vaccine. And it's going to allow foreigners to get the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine here in China as well.
Okay, from the market's perspective, is the China reopening a good thing? Because, they're back in the game, the world's second largest economy. Or is it a bad thing because maybe COVID's going to spread, maybe variants?
Well, that's the thing. Are there going to be new variants emerging? So far, like I said, a global consortium that tracks all this stuff, and they're watching really carefully. This is what they do. They said, so far, everything is A-OK. But obviously, there's always going to be that concern just because, if You know, given the fact that the spread in China has been so rapid, so sudden, that there's always that possibility. But I think as far as investors are concerned, right now it's more of a wait-and-see approach, just because we have the Chinese New Year approaching, and we're going to have, you know, a lot more infections and deaths in the next few weeks. And then from there, will the outbreaks peak? Today, the Chinese CDC said that the outbreaks are peaking in Beijing,
yeah.
Chengdu, and Tianjin, but it's still pretty serious in Shanghai. So, I mean, there are, like, you know, so it's always peaking in some major important cities.
Yeah, okay.
But we're still not where we need to be.
From Shanghai this morning, Bloomberg's Alan Wan. Alan, stay healthy. We appreciate it. And just ahead, this morning's top stories, plus your local headlines. Right now, the S&P futures are 12 points higher. That's up 0.3%. Right now, let's get a look at today's Bloomberg weather forecast. And with that, here's meteorologist Rob Carolyn.
Mix of clouds and sunshine shaping up for the tri-state area. High pressure's off to our south and east in the Atlantic, so that's going to allow to warm up. Highs today, 45 to 50. We're partly cloudy tonight, 30 to 35. Partial sun for tomorrow, close to 50, becoming cloudy, 35 to 40 tomorrow night. Rain moves in late Saturday, 50 to 55. Partial clearing on Sunday. I'm Rob Carolyn with your weekend forecast on Bloomberg 1130.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And we're coming up to 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. This is your daily reminder from Innovation Refunds to apply for a payroll tax refund if your small or medium-sized business was impacted by COVID-19. Innovation Refunds clients already claimed over $2 billion in payroll tax refunds. Get started at GetRefunds.com.
And we're nearly 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. As COVID cases climb in China, the U.S. plans to require COVID testing for travelers from the country. Officials are concerned about new variants and China's lack of transparency with COVID data. Italy will also begin testing arrivals from China and wants other European countries to do the same.
Yeah, we have news on the war in Ukraine this morning. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov says Moscow will not enter into negotiations to end the war. The hardline stance comes as Russia launched another missile barrage on major cities in Ukraine. Former Defense Secretary Mark Esper says the U.S. can and should provide further support for Ukraine.
It's important that we hold on, but at the same time, give Ukraine what they need to win. They have the will, they have the courage, they have the resolve. They've been showing a great deal of grit and success on the battlefield. We need to help enable that.
Former Defense Secretary Mark Esper is speaking with David Weston on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. Catch the show weekdays at noon on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Well, to Wall Street now, John, where layoffs are front and center. Goldman Sachs is working on a fresh round of staff cuts. CEO David Solomon made the announcement in his year-end message to staff, saying the cuts will be unveiled in a matter of weeks.
And Karen, looking at markets, right now U.S. futures, for now, they're higher following 2 days of losses. COVID concerns out of China weighing on sentiment. But Jonathan Golub, head of U.S. equity strategy at Credit Suisse, says steady wages can provide some stability in 2023.
Wages don't look like they're going to fall as much. For the average consumer, they're going to get a stronger wage increase. The things they buy aren't going to go up as much as their wages. And yet jobs are really plentiful.
Jonathan Golub with Credit Suisse says he thinks there will be positive market movement in early next year.
And John, the travel meltdown that stranded thousands of passengers shows no signs of slowing as the airline continues canceling flights. And Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport joins us live with more. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Karen and John. Southwest blames bad weather for its problems, but aviation experts say snow was only one of the elements that created the perfect storm. They point to issues like tight turnaround times, faulty phone systems, and outdated software. Analysts and unions warned for years that Southwest needed to invest in new technology. Those warnings proved costly as Southwest grounded more than 2,300 additional flights for today. But gray skies look like they're clearing up for the carrier. So far, Southwest canceled only 39 flights for tomorrow, according to the tracking site FlightAware. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thank you. And your local headlines are straight ahead. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. That brings us to 5:31 on Wall Street, and time to bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much. The National Guard went door-to-door in parts of Buffalo to check on people who lost power during the area's deadliest winter storm in decades. Already about three dozen deaths have been reported in western New York from the blizzard. Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown.
Again, as you know, this was a historic storm. Probably the worst storm that the city has seen in over 50 years, and perhaps, maybe, the worst storm in recorded history since these storms have been tracked.
Mayor Brown says a travel ban has been lifted, but a travel advisory remains in place. A rally to get rid of Title 42 was held outside the El Paso County Courthouse in Texas to protest this week's big decision on immigration. This demonstrator says she's visiting relatives for the holidays, but lives in Panama and pays close attention to U.S. politics.
I thought the government did not, or the people who is in the government right now, did not analyze the problem.
Yesterday's protest comes just a day after the U.S. Supreme Court kept Title 42 in place. The court agreed to hear an appeal from 19 GOP-led states over the Trump COVID-era immigration policy that makes it harder for migrants to claim asylum. Representative-elect George Santos of New York is under investigation by Long Island prosecutors. The now-embattled Republican admits he lied about his heritage, education, and professional pedigree as he campaigned for office. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air, and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. Yeah, so 5:33 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Report, being brought to you by your Tri-State Audi dealers. And once again, here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. The Nets, the first NBA team this season to reel off 10 consecutive wins. They held on in Atlanta 108-107. The Hawks missed the game-winning shot at the end. Kyrie Irving, 28 points. Kevin Durant at 26 with 16 rebounds. It's the Nets' longest winning streak since 2006. Knicks off that overtime loss in Dallas, play tonight in San Antonio. Rangers visit Tampa Bay. The Devils just lost at home to the Bruins. 3-1. College hoops, St. John's lost to Xavier. Fordham beaten by Davidson. UConn beat Villanova. The Huskies are 14-0. They are ranked number 2 in the country. Quarterback news, Derek Carr benched by the Raiders. He's been their starter for 9 years, but he's thrown 14 interceptions this season. Jared Stidham will replace him. This figures the lead to Las Vegas moving Carr in the offseason. Jets could be looking for a QB. Washington's going back to Carson Wentz, replacing Taylor Heineke. Wentz hasn't started since week 6. Commanders are part of that battle for the last two NFC wildcard spots. Miami and New England in it for one wild card in the AFC. They play Sunday, and the Dolphins QB will be Teddy Bridgewater. Tua Tagovailoa has his second concussion of the season. They'll play the Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium this afternoon, Syracuse against Minnesota. The Red Sox signed 37-year-old Corey Kluber, won two Cy Youngs with Cleveland, spent this past season with Tampa Bay. Kluber threw a no-hitter in 2020 for the Yankees. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks a lot, John. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let somebody else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information. Green on the screen, ahead of the cash open. Dow futures up 39, S&P futures up 12 points. And right now, the NASDAQ E-mini futures up 66 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's now 5:35 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. And with that, good morning to Bloomberg's Gina Cervetti.
Starting today, New York State kicks off legal recreational marijuana sales, just ahead of its goal of launching regulated taxed sales before year's end. Housing Works, a New York City-based nonprofit that runs a chain of thrift shops, will launch sales at a Manhattan dispensary at 1 Astor Place. Long Island leads the biggest drop in luxury home sales on record. Redfin says that year over year, luxury home sales in Nassau County slumped 66% during the 3 months ending November 30th. Nationally, those sales fell 38% as higher mortgage rates and a weak stock market hurt demand for prime real estate. Still, Redfin says there are early signs that demand could pick up. And a Washington, D.C. area taco chain is expanding into New Jersey. The Washington Business Journal reports that District Taco has signed deals with franchise operators that will add a total of 60 restaurants in several states, including New Jersey, Florida, and North Carolina. That's the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Gina Cervetti.
All right, thanks, Gina. Annie, it is now 5:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. To bring global emissions goals within reach, nuclear power generation will need to roughly double by 2050, according to the International Energy Agency. Unfortunately, the world is moving backward in key respects. Nuclear share of global energy production declined to 10.1% in 2020, from 17.5% in 1996. In the U.S., about a dozen reactors have shut since 2013, and more are on the chopping block. Given the looming risks of climate change, these trends are cause for alarm. Worldwide, governments need to extend the lifetimes of existing nuclear plants, work with industry to finance new ones, and redouble efforts to promote nuclear innovation. The world can't decarbonize without nuclear power, and time is running short. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Terminal customers, you can read more at OPIN Go. Another story we're following brings us back to Elon Musk. Investors betting against Tesla are getting the big bonanza they've been waiting for. That's as the electric vehicle maker is set to record its worst annual performance on record. The stock down 68% of the year. Well, short sellers in the company are poised to reap profits of about $17 billion. That is making Tesla the most profitable short trade of the year. And as we look right now in the pre-market, Tesla shares this morning up 3.8%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, December 29th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
New restrictions on travelers from China after the country scales back COVID policies.
Goldman readies for a fresh round of layoffs in the new year.
Markets look for a Santa Claus rally to close 2022.
And Russia rules out peace talks with Ukraine.
Prosecutors are investigating New York Congressman-elect Santos after false claims about his background. Plus, the dig out continues in Buffalo. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. Make it 10 straight for the Nets. A one-point win in Atlanta. The Devils lost to the Bruins. A Big East loss for St. John.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are on the rise this morning. We check the markets all day long here at Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 14 points, or about a third of a percent. Dow futures up 0.2%, or 62 points. And NASDAQ futures up 0.6%, or 66 points. John.
And Karen, let's begin with new travel restrictions targeting China. As COVID cases climb in the country, the U.S. plans to require COVID testing for travelers coming from China. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has details this morning.
The concern comes as cases spiral upward in China, and with China not releasing data, the U.S. says transparency has disappeared. Health officials say they are concerned about the emergence of new variants, which tend to thrive with so many new cases. The U.S. announcement came after news reports of two flights from China into Milan, Italy, where more than half the passengers tested positive. The passengers will be required to test 2 days before making their flight. The requirement goes into effect January 5th. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Well, we have news on the war in Ukraine this morning. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov says Moscow will not enter into negotiations to end the war. The hardline stance comes as Russia launched another missile barrage on major cities in Ukraine. Former Defense Secretary Mark Esper tells us Moscow is digging in for the long haul.
Putin's strategy is to wait us out. I mean, that's why he is hammering Ukrainian cities, infrastructure, energy resources with ballistic missiles and drones. He wants to break the back, break the will of the Ukrainian people. We now see he's putting an embargo, if you will, on countries that put a price cap on oil. He wants to freeze them out, freeze us out a little bit also. He is playing for time, thinking that we will wobble, we will weaken.
Former Defense Secretary Mark Esper spoke with David Westin on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. Catch the show weekdays at noon on Bloomberg Radio and television.
And let's turn to Wall Street now, Karen. Another sign of maybe an economic slowdown. Goldman Sachs working on a fresh round of staff cuts. And Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports they're likely to come in a matter of weeks.
That word from CEO David Solomon in his traditional year-end message to staff. Solomon said, quote, "We are conducting a careful review, and while discussions are still ongoing, we anticipate our headcount reduction will take place in the first half of January." He says there are a variety of factors impacting the business landscape, including tightening monetary conditions that are slowing down economic activity. Earlier this month, sources said the firm may seek to eliminate as much as 8% of its workforce, or up to 4,000 jobs, to contain a slump in profit and revenue. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Well, to markets now, U.S. futures are higher following 2 days of losses. Concerns are surfacing over the end of China's COVID-zero policies. But Jonathan Golub, head of U.S. equity strategy at Credit Suisse, sees positive signs for the new year.
The market is of the belief that no matter what the Fed says, the likelihood is that the Fed is going to ultimately get closer to their inflation target, and that's a positive. And that's what the market is ultimately fixated on, and I think that's why stocks are going to do pretty well over the next several months.
Jonathan Golub with Credit Suisse says steady wages can provide some stability in 2023.
Overseas stocks in Asia dropped overnight. Let's get the recap now from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
Stocks in Asia tumbled on new concerns that China's reopening would spread COVID cases around the world. There may be a day that investors embrace the reopening, but today was not that day. Equity benchmarks in Japan, Hong Kong, Australia, and South Korea all falling around 1%. Australian 10-year government bond yields rose. The dollar was weaker, and the yen put on gains. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. We also have news out of the Bank of Japan this morning. The BOJ announcing two additional rounds of unscheduled bond purchase operations. The move fights back against traders betting the BOJ will further relax its yield curve control policy. And taking a look at the yen right now, it is higher against the dollar at 133.65 against the dollar.
And meanwhile, oil tumbling this morning. It's being tied to concerns over COVID cases surging in China. Taking a look at Brent, the international benchmark, down 1.7% at 81.84 a barrel.
Well, John, turmoil in the travel industry continues again this morning. The meltdown that stranded thousands of passengers shows no signs of slowing as Southwest Airlines continues canceling flights. Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport joins us live with the latest. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Karen and John. As Southwest grounds more than 2,300 additional flights today, analysts and unions say the travel nightmare could have been prevented. They warned for years the carrier was playing a dangerous game by not investing in new technology. Those prophecies proved a disaster for Southwest as it struggles to recover from last week's storm. Rival airlines are mostly back to normal schedules. The White House wants to know why Southwest can't pick up the pace. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thanks. And we have a couple of notes this morning on Elon Musk's companies. Let's start with Twitter, which has restored services hours after thousands of users reported glitches. More than 9,000 users from San Francisco to Hong Kong reported problems accessing the service.
And Elon Musk is telling Tesla employees to ignore stock market craziness. His comments come as analysts turn bullish on the stock. Morgan Stanley this morning says derating the company's stock has created a buying opportunity. Shares are down 68% on the year, but this morning they're higher, up 3.5% in early trading. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
right, thanks, Karen. That brings us to 5:07. Time for a look at some of the stories making news in New York and around the world. And for that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, John. Buffalo lifted a travel ban just after midnight. It was put in place in the aftermath of the Christmas weekend blizzard that left the city buried under more than 4 feet of snow. Mayor Byron Brown.
Conditions are such that the driving ban can be lifted. We're going to keep a travel advisory in place because there will still be heavy equipment doing work.
Dozens of Buffalo area residents died in the storm. New York Congressman-elect George Santos. Under increasing scrutiny, prosecutors at the federal and state levels are taking a closer look at the Republican. His lies about his past have reportedly led to a federal probe into his finances, with the questions now surfacing about $700,000 used to fund his campaign. The prosecutor in Nassau County says she is looking into numerous fabrications and inconsistencies. Nearly 2 years after New York legalized recreational marijuana, New York City's first dispensary is opening its doors to the public today. The Housing Works Cannabis Company in Lower Manhattan is a nonprofit that supports the homeless. Attorney Michael Bass says to beware of certain restrictions under the new laws.
There's going to be very long lines. And my concern is people may lose patients in these lines and just go over to New Jersey to buy cannabis products and bring it back to New York. Well, if you do that, you've committed a federal crime, trafficking the cannabis across state lines. So I urge folks, please don't do that.
Attorney Bass also says there are limitations in terms of grams and ounces to what you can purchase in New York. The fallout continues over the crisis at the southern border after the Supreme Court let Title 42 stay in place for now. People in El Paso, Texas are protesting the extension of Title 42. The pandemic-era policy allows the U.S. to expel migrants back across the border without an asylum hearing. Bye-bye 2022. Ahead of the big ball drop, New Year's Eve, Good Riddance Day was held in Times Square. Visitors could write down what they want to leave in the past. This man is a cancer survivor.
Got diagnosed in January of this year and went through chemo, radiation, surgery.
Many others were tired of COVID. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Here's my list. Michael, thank you. And that brings us to 5:10 of Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Report being brought to you by your Tri-State Audi dealers. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, John. Nets and Hawks in Atlanta. Hawks without three injured starters. Nets riding a long winning streak. They had a double-digit lead. Hawks rallied. The game was tied late.
A minute 45 to go in the game. All even at 104. Durant up top. Moving left. Stops at a dime. Fade away. Going for KD. 106-104 Brooklyn.
On WFAN, Nets made it 10 wins in a row. It's their longest winning streak in 16 years. 108-107. Kyrie Irving, 28 points. 15 of those came in the fourth quarter for Kevin Durant. 26 points, 16 rebounds, 8 assists. Nets play Saturday at Charlotte. Knicks play tonight in San Antonio. Since that 7-game winning streak, the Knicks have lost their last four. Devils beaten in Newark by the NHL leading Bruins 3-1. The Rangers visit Tampa Bay tonight. The Islanders are home for Columbus. St. John's hosted Xavier, trailed by 11 at the half. The Red Storm lost 84-79, now 11-3, 1-2 in the Big East. Fordham off to a 12-1 start, but the Rams lost their Atlantic 10 opener at Rose Hill to Davidson, 57-43. Fordham scored only 14 points in the first half. There's college football in New York this afternoon. Syracuse and Minnesota. The Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium. Last night's Liberty Bowl in Memphis went triple overtime after Kansas rallied from 25 down, but Arkansas won 55-53. The national semifinals are Saturday. Michigan against TCU in Phoenix. Georgia looking to win back-to-back championships, taking on Ohio State in Atlanta. The winners then play January 9th in L.A. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
John, thanks very much. Appreciate it. Bloomberg Sports Report being brought to you by Audi. Don't let somebody else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, we have futures right now. They are in the green. The Dow futures up 42 points. S&P E-mini futures up 11. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Live from coast to coast, from New York to San Francisco, Boston to Washington, D.C., nationwide on Sirius XM, the Bloomberg Business App, and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And good morning. I'm John Tucker. Concerns about the spread of COVID-19 from China that weakened some of the risk appetite in one of the final trading days of the year. Yesterday's session, the S&P 500 lost 1.2%. So let's get you set up for the trading day ahead today. And we're joined by Ivy Jack, the co-CIO at North Star Asset Management, joining us this morning. Ivy, with the COVID risk in markets again, do you have a sense of, oh no, here we go again?
I don't know if I have a sense of, oh no, here we go again. I think this is something that at least at North Star, we've been anticipating could be possible. I mean, really, the conditions for COVID are still present. When you think about the fact that we are impeding on nature, coming in contact with more of nature and more of animals, it's not surprising that, you know, we could perhaps even see another pandemic in the very near term. So again, no, we're not surprised. I know we like to think the pandemic is behind us, but it's still very much with us.
Hey, what, if anything, can you pick up from the ashes of 2022 in risk assets?
What can we pick up? I would say that there's going to be continued uncertainty and volatility. I think 2022 has been a challenging year, and therefore I have heard some comments that, you know, 2023 on the margins could get better as the Fed, you know, starts stepping down the amount of rate increases. And I've heard people talk about perhaps that there is going to be, you know, the possibility that the Fed might actually reduce rates. So I would say for us, we're not optimistic about next year. In fact, you know, I would say we're expecting more of 2022 in 2023. So I don't know that I see any, you know, any nuggets that could be helpful in terms of interpreting what could happen in 2023.
Yeah, you mentioned the Fed. What are some of the factors that might go into a pivot? Sounds like you're not aboard with that. And just to what extent do they have to torpedo maybe the labor market in the U.S. Before moving ahead?
Yes, John, I will tell you, look, I am not an economist, but what I can say is, you know, I think it would be not wise for someone to look at what the Fed is doing right now and saying that, you know, they possibly could step off the gas next year. I would tell you that I think next year is going to be challenging because the labor market is strong. And I think the Fed has made it quite clear that they plan on fighting inflation with all that they have. And so, you know, therefore, going into 2023, again, we're not optimistic. And then, you know, as you mentioned when we started the conversation, there's so many other factors at play, including China, whether or not China can open, you know, how Europe deals with energy prices, given the Ukraine-Russian war. There's still so many variables that we just don't know about that could lead to another really, really challenging year.
Is it a year in 2023 to stay away from risk assets? Do you have to be more selective?
Yes. So I would tell you that we're focusing on quality assets. You know, we're looking for stocks and investments that have good management teams, consistent earnings, strong near-term cash flow. So yes, you are right. Going into 2023, we are maintaining a defensive posture.
And as far as those quality assets, do you have specific names? Oh, and also, what about bonds?
Bonds. Oh, of course. This is probably one of the best opportunities we've seen in, you know, a very, very long time. So in terms of bonds, to the extent that we can go out and acquire longer duration assets, that would be great. So we don't, I wouldn't say we had any specific names per se, but within specific, you know, within specific sectors, we are certainly looking for the higher quality assets that have strong cash flow.
All right, it's time to put you on the spot, Ivy. Year-end for 2023, S&P 500 call, and maybe with we'll take the 10-year. What do you see where do you see the yield headed there?
Oh, I mean, you know, if I knew, I don't think I'd be on the phone with you right now. So,
oh, sure you would.
No, no. So, yeah, I mean, I think we're going to be a little bit higher than where we are right now. You know, the high 3s to 4%. I think in terms of the equity market, you know, I think we're probably going to stay steady. I think, you know, we're going to end the year in the same place. We're probably going to end the year in 2022, you know, around 3,900, 4,000.
All right, Ivy, a pleasure. Appreciate it. Ivy Jack, co-CIO at Northstar Asset Management, joining us this morning. And that brings us to 5:18 on Wall Street. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. We're going to check the markets, bring you the latest news in business, economics, and finance. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Dow futures, 44 points higher. S&P E-mini futures, they're up 12 points. The NASDAQ futures, up 63. This is Daybreak.